to the second pick of the 2016 NFL draft. Just taking a look at it right now. Mace, right now your mock has Carson Wentz. Do you feel like that is going to be the guy?
I'd be stunned. I will break dance on the set if Carson Wentz is not the pick.
We have thought about the Eagles earlier this week because there were, of course, rumors of a possible trade for Sam Bradford. That never came to fruition. Mm-hmm. However, now the Eagles are looking at adding Carson Wentz to a stable that already includes Chase Daniel and Sam Bradford. So, Mace, to you, why do you think Wentz is the pick here at number two?
Well, simply put, like you said, they've made this move up. You're not making this move to number two for Laremy Tunsil. No offense to him.
Right.
You're doing it for the quarterback. And you have Bradford and you have Chase Daniel, but Bradford's on a two-year deal. Chase Daniel's on a short-term contract as well. That's why you're looking at a long-term guy like Wentz. There's nothing that says they can't trade Sam Bradford in the future. And, of course, we've heard how he's not at off-season workouts right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's upset about things. And I can't blame him to some degree, but at the same time, you got to show up and do your job at some point.
If you're Chase Daniel, what do you think? I mean, you've got to be imagining that it's like, well, what am I, chopped liver? But he was well compensated this
year. That's the thing. He's getting paid very handsomely to be potentially a third-string quarterback. Although with those two guys, you don't have to play Carson Wentz right away. And I think that's part of the Eagles' plan here. Have those quarterbacks, and then if Carson Wentz is struggling to make that big transition from FCS to the National Football League, then you can say, okay, we're going to play Bradford, and if Bradford gets hurt, we'll play Chase Daniel.
Mace, you're one for one. You need to put the check mark up real quick before we lose track of things.
All right.
Just to commemorate your 100, you're batting 1,000 right now. Not many people can say that.
Yeah, I'd love that. But I'll bet you a lot of people that did mock drafts can say they're batting 1,000 right now.
Probably. Anything else about the Eagles that you like as far as their roster is concerned? I know they've got a lot of holes, just like a lot of teams at the top of the draft, but anything that you can think of that makes them a viable candidate for years to come, or something that they can kind of bank on?
The fact that they're in the NFC East and it's so dadgum mediocre, that makes them that makes them a playoff candidate. And I think that's another reason why you can incubate Carson Wentz for a little bit if he's your guy, and play Sam Bradford and Chase Daniel, because they're thinking, okay, we're not that far off from being a playoff team. I mean, a modest 9-7 record got Washington in last year. They were right there. They had a chance in week 16 and couldn't capitalize. So I think the Eagles understand they're not that far away.
Wentz, guy from North Dakota, Bismarck, North Dakota, says one of his favorite hobbies is hunting. Will he be looking for hunting spots in the Philadelphia Hills? Commissioner Goodell with the pick.
By the commissioner of the National Football League as the second overall selection in this draft. The Chargers are officially on the clock while the commissioner comes out to the Bronx cheer chorus here in Chicago. With the pick.
With the second pick in the 2016 NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Carson Wentz, quarterback, North Dakota State.
The Bison at number two for the Philadelphia Eagles threw for 3,011 yards last year and 25 touchdowns and led his team to a fourth consecutive FCS championship. Mace, you are two for two, still batting 1,000, but why do you like Carson Wentz at this slot after seeing now that he is in fact the pick?
And frankly, why I like Carson Wentz a bit more than Jared Goff. I was watching some of his film from last year, and the thing that amazed me was how much zip there was when he threw to the sideline. He's throwing a 20-yard out, and he's tossing darts. And you know, and he's placing them perfectly to where only the receiver can get there. And it's outside shoulder. It's just beautiful. I saw him do it three times on one series. I think it was in the Weber State game that I was watching. Just That's the kind of throw that an NFL quarterback has to make, and frankly, not many NFL quarterbacks can make those kind of throws as consistently as Carson Wentz.
Do you worry about the stage? Do you worry about? I mean, this guy could run for governor in North Dakota tomorrow and win. Do you worry about the stage, though, of going to the big city and having to perform week after week in front of millions and millions of people?
Not just the stage of millions of people. The most important thing is the stage of 66,000 people in South Philly, because if you don't do well, they will turn on you like no other crowd. I mean, they love Carson Wentz right now. At some, yes, exactly. They booed Santa Claus a long time ago. You know, if he does poorly, they will turn on him so fast. I mean, they turned on, I mean, Donovan McNabb got into a Super Bowl, had some great years. They turned on him. So he's going to have to build up his mental fortitude, because he's never had an environment to play in quite like Philadelphia.
Does the sample size worry you? I know the comparison between passes. I know Goff only has about 600 passes, or I'm sorry, Wentz has 600 passes to Goff's 1,500. Does the sample size of throws that we've seen from Wentz worry you any?
A little bit, but at the same time, I think that's balanced out by what I saw him do during Senior Bowl week, when he's with the Dallas Cowboys coaches and he picks up a pro offense and nuances of it, lickety-split like that. Very impressive. I think that was the week that turned Carson Wentz from, oh, this guy's a pretty interesting quarterback prospect who might be a first-rounder, into the number two overall pick in the draft.
We've talked about Goff, we've talked about Wentz, and now we're going to talk about the San Diego Chargers. Our first AFC West opponent is now on the clock. Mace, you had who over there on the board?
I have Laremy Tunsil, the offensive tackle out of Mississippi. Now, there's plenty of directions they could go, and we talked about that. Defense is definitely a possibility. Could see them going for Joey Bosa or DeForest Buckner, Jalen Ramsey. All of those would fill needs for the Chargers, but everything to me comes down to giving Philip Rivers the best chance possible for a longer career. He's, you know, you're going to get healthy receivers mm-hmm. back next year. They have Antonio Gates coming back. They have the weapons on that offense, but they've got to make sure that Philip Rivers has that extra half second, extra three quarters of a second to throw that he really hasn't had in some time. That's why I keep coming back to offensive tackle, and the best guy on the board, the guy who's number one on my top 100, quite frankly, is Laremy Tunsil.
Laremy Tunsil was a guy that many people, like May said, had on the top of their draft boards just because of the size, the way he moves. We saw him at the NFL Combine, one of the most well-spoken individuals at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. And Mace, just really quickly about the city of San Diego, I know they're going through a lot of turmoil with their mm-hmm. NFL franchise due to the fact that they can't get a new stadium built. Jack Murphy Stadium, as it's known to many people in that area, not exactly the pristine chapel that is most NFL stadiums these days, but how important will it be to hit on this pick because they're in so much trouble with regards to their fan base?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if morale and the state of the team impacts a potential vote later this year. Obviously, they've presented a new stadium proposal downtown in the stadium convention center proposal for downtown San Diego in the last several days. It's very impressive. It's really the most well-formulated plan so far that has come out of San Diego. And there's been a lot of stops and starts in the stadium process over the years. But I think while this pick, whoever it is, and him doing well, is going to have an impact, the biggest thing is they had so many injuries last year. They're going to get a lot of those players back. Having better health, I think, could make all the difference and get the Chargers back to their accustomed playoff contention level.
Commissioner Goodell, LaDainian Tomlinson, owner Dean Spanos, all were in attendance for a pep rally last week in order to rev up interest in the downtown convention center facility that could be the Chargers' new home. So we think about just the fact that there could be some defensive guys taken at this spot. Mace, if it's not Tunsil, you've got three guys in defensive slots below. Who do you think would be the most likely candidate if, in fact, they do go defense?
I would say Jalen Ramsey is probably the best player on the board okay. in terms of not only being an outstanding player, but health.
Okay.
Miles Jack, if he's healthy, is the guy that could probably have the biggest immediate transformative effect on that defense. But Joey Bosa or DeForest Buckner could give the Chargers the kind of long, strong defensive end that they really haven't had.
Mike McCoy, of course, the former Broncos offensive coordinator, now the head coach of the San Diego Chargers, helming that team for the past two seasons. And Mace, just what do you think of the job that McCoy's done in the past couple of seasons? I know he's got Phillip Rivers at quarterback firmly entrenched. However, Melvin Gordon last season didn't really hit as far as an offensive pick is concerned. Is there any fear of taking an offensive guy this early in the draft?
I don't think there's any real fear of taking an offensive guy. I mean, although Melvin Gordon was a disappointment, again, injury shred their offensive line. It seems like that's been a theme of the Chargers the last few years is offensive line injuries. But that said, you've got a chance to potentially take a franchise tackle. I would do that, but we'll see what happens.
The Chargers pick is, of course, now in. Will it be Tunsil and will Mace go 3 for 3? Here's Commissioner Goodell.
Donnie Stanley.
Okay, here we go. Here's the commissioner of the National Football League with the third overall selection tonight.
With the third pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the San Diego Chargers select Joey Bosa, defensive end, Ohio State.
The streak ends at 2, Mace. Joey Bosa, the Ohio State defensive end, taken at number 3 by the San Diego Chargers. Mace, really quick, what do you like about Bosa?
Bosa in that defense, in that 3-4, is going to be a perfect fit. I think he's an immediate starter. There have been some people comparing him to J.J. Watt. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think he has J.J. Watt's freakish athleticism. However, the fact that he's got multiple pass rush moves that, I mean, maybe he can add some weight to his frame. If he can get up to like 275, 280 and keep his quickness, he can be even more effective. And again, he's the kind of defensive end that the Chargers have not had in the recent past.
Do you think that with the addition of Bosa now, what does that do for the secondary for the Chargers? I know that was an area of concern as well.
Well, you're going to, you know, getting Jason Verrett back healthy is going to help them out tremendously. And I could see them addressing the secondary in the second round. Now, we talked about Carl Joseph being a potential pick for the Broncos at number 31. The sweet spot for safeties, I think, is from the late first round through the mid second round. I think that's where the quality is compressed. And I could see them going safety in round 2 to replace Eric Weddle.
Do you also think with Bosa, the fact that his defense was so good with Apple, guys like Von Bell, do you feel like that might have contributed to some of the gaudy statistics? I know he was defensive player in the Big Ten for a reason, but do you feel like that had helped his case to be a top 10 pick?
Well, I think the thing is when I watch him in one-on-one matchups, and he was forcing a lot of things on his own. He was pretty consistent at winning his one-on-ones. Really, the only guy who completely shut him down was a guy we'll be talking about later in this first round, almost certainly Jack Conklin out of Michigan State. Aside from that, he was able to use a variety of moves, very good with his hands, very good at getting those arms out there and forcing the offensive lineman into a disadvantageous position. I think he's going to do fine with the Chargers.
We will be back for the Raiders pick, Mace. But real quick, I just want to get your take. Who on your board between 4 and it looks like, yep, 4 and 14, who are you the most excited to see get drafted?
4 and 14. Well, I think where Jalen Ramsey goes, if Jalen Ramsey goes pretty high, he's going to be a success no matter where he goes. Ronnie Stanley, you know, we'll see. I want to see where he ends up falling. There were some people were talking about Stanley even going as high as number 3 of the Chargers, of course. That didn't happen. And Ezekiel Elliott, I think there's a lot of teams looking at him. Miami, I think, sitting at number 13 is looking longingly at Ezekiel Elliott, and they could be compelled to trade up.
Andrew Mason not batting 1,000 anymore, but he is batting 500. That's pretty good.
667.
All right, fine. My math is a little off, Mace. Thank you. All right. We will be back later on in the evening for the Raiders pick. As Phil mentioned at the top of the show, we will be coming back in for AFC West picks as well as any moves the Broncos make. So keep it tuned right here to Broncos TV and DenverBroncos.com in order to keep up with all of the draft action. But for now, we say so long, and we hope we will see you a little bit later on in the evening to see who the Broncos will take at 31.